Augustine Pier. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 The Truth.
Thank you for tuning in today to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Today's broadcast is a pre-recorded broadcast, so we will not be opening the phone lines. Please stay tuned to the end of the broadcast for additional information on First Conservative Baptist Church and Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. And together, let's face the issues.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We'll be talking about an issue today that I believe should be fresh on the hearts and the minds of every patriot, every conservative, every Christian in America today. What is the greatest threat to America? What is the greatest threat to America? I know you could talk about it in different categories, in different realms, whether it's political or social or denominational, and your whole variety of thoughts about the greatest threat to America. For example, there's some saying, some of those on the left, that saying the greatest threat to America is Christian nationalism. Some are saying that it's racism. Some are saying that it's simply the overpowering of American Constitution with weapons, and somehow, some way, we've got to reduce the number of gun owners and the guns in America. And I could go on and on and on. We're going to get to the rudimentary, fundamental root of what I believe is the greatest threat to America, the greatest threat to our constitutional republic today. President Trump articulated it very well just very recently in one of his speeches. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. As you've heard me say so many times on this broadcast, whatever happens in the our cities, our states, our nation, and across the globe, let's look at it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word tell us? You see, as we study the Scripture from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, we find it's God's progressive revelation of Himself to man. We see what God has done, what God is doing, and what God shall do. And therefore, we understand what is taking place. I believe so often, even in Christians and Christian homes, we fail to recognize what God is doing because we have not studied the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. You see what Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. He said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." I don't know about you, those are comforting words to me. To know that regardless of what the world says, regardless of what the world does, we can stand on the truth of the Word of God. It was the secularist of yesteryear, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, George Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And may I say, as I add a Youngblood parenthetical footnote to that statement, I believe we can go to anything that we discuss, whether it's political, social, economic, societal, religious, spirituality, biblical Christianity, whatever category, and you'll find that, those, when you stand on truth, that want to remonstrate against it, will want to challenge it and demean it and deny it and reject it. It goes back to the Garden of Eden, the third chapter of Genesis, where Satan said, "Yea, hath God said." That's always been the challenge to truth even today. "Yea, hath God said." Ladies and gentlemen, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. I'm looking at a headline from DeMint years ago. Jim DeMint warns that America's decline is based on or linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint said. "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity." Ladies and gentlemen, there's not a word I could add to that that would make it be any more powerful in its statement than DeMint said. Yet, I'm looking at a summary of a survey that was done recently in relationship to how the millennials in America view truth. And the headline says, "Most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth." The beginning of the article, it states this: "Webster's Dictionary says truth is the body of real things, real events, facts, actualities, and the state of being, in that case, true or factual." In the body of this article, it says, however, 55% of Americans 18 to 35-year-old age group say that each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me say so many times on this broadcast, a half-truth is a whole lie. We need to understand that truth cannot be modified, modulated, or in any way changed, or it's not truth. We go back to the truth of the Word of God, and we find it fundamentally, foundationally, being not just a source of truth, but it is truth. I'm looking at a headline that should cause anxiety in relationship to the subject. "Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth." The article starts in this fashion: "American institutions are suffering from a collapse in the public support. Among these institutions worst affected are government, the media, and education." The body of the article, it states that in the academic circle, that truth is relative, or that it is a matter of individual perception or cultural mores, or even that there's no such thing as absolute truth. I go back to a 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." That's my challenge. That's my mantra each and every day on this broadcast. And it's my prayer that you will hear truth today, that you will inculcate it and use it in your life, especially as a Christian, a patriot, a conservative. And by the way, when I mix those three, I'm not trying to make any connotations in any fashion that all conservatives are Christians. We have a lot of conservatives today that need to know Christ as Savior. But I'm thankful for their position on some of the moral, ethical issues that we place in the category of either liberal or conservative. So I'm speaking to conservatives. I'm speaking to those that are Christian and patriots, and asking you today to let's recognize what is truth and stand on truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators, and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old San Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag. Old Glory, 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, over the past few days, in fact, it's been going on for several weeks now, in the preparation and the planning for the anniversary of our 250th birthday of the United States of America, we've watched celebrations, and I'm thankful for it. Listen, we've watched celebrations across America. We've seen in our great nation today, we witnessed perhaps some of the largest fireworks. In fact, I've forgotten the number. Heard one person that said in Washington, D.C., alone in the major presidential presentation of the celebration of the 250th birthday of America, I understand there was some several hundred thousand fireworks that had gone off. I watched much of the fireworks display. I waited and waited and waited for President Trump's speech. Finally got excerpts of it because it was so late when he was finally able to speak because of the inclement weather that came in. But ladies and gentlemen, the point that I make, we've heard great speeches, wonderful patriots, fantastic singing that I believe should inspire and challenge and motivate and encourage Christians and patriots and conservatives in America. We've seen that. We've heard the patriots stand up and speak. Listen, I've listened to several speakers, patriots, that I was so thankful to hear them refer to spiritual things, referring to the biblical truth, referring to what God has done, what God is doing in our 250th anniversary of the birth of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, as we think about the fact that we are looking at an enduring legacy with the religious liberty, the freedom of speech, I believe that our nation has been blessed of God because of our stand for God and godliness. The Bible is very, very clear in Psalms 33:12, where the Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that because we've stood for God, we've stood for the gospel, we've embraced the truth of God's word, God has blessed America as no other nation for 250 years. But ladies and gentlemen, we have some of the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democratic Party that's now saying that Christianity is a threat to America. We're going to go into details on that today. We're going to talk about the U.S. Supreme Court's decision or their opinion. By the way, the U.S. Supreme Court cannot make law. U.S. Supreme Court cannot make a decision for the nation. All the U.S. Supreme Court can do is render an opinion, and that opinion ought to be based upon the four corners of a document called the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution in particular. It gets outside of that, we lose focus of what the U.S. Supreme Court's responsibility may be. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're asking the question, what is the greatest threat to America? We'll get into the essence of that in just a moment. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go over with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Hilton. Our greatest threat is the Democratic Party. And these young people that think that socialism is the best way to go. But if they study history, they will see that it failed every time in every nation.
It has. One of the problems, Kenneth, and I don't know, I think you're probably aware of it, some of our listeners may not be, this phenomena about socialism, Marxism, communism, by the way, socialism and Marxism, if you put it under an umbrella, it is simply communism light, L-I-T-E. That's what we're witnessing today.
Yes.
And the phenomena of that is not something that's brand new. It didn't start yesterday. It's just now bubbling up to blossom and to bear fruit of what's been taking place in the past approximately 60 years. For the past 60 years, we have allowed the Marxist, socialist, communist professors to come into our prestigious universities and train our leaders, those that are present leaders today, those that are recently past leaders, to train those leaders into believing that America's bad, America's racist, America's evil, and God is bad, your parents and family leadership and recommendations bad. Trained our students in those prestigious universities to hate God, to hate America, and to reject anything that's called biblical truths. It's coming to bear today where we're finding those coming out of those universities with a credential that's worthless, but because of that credential, they elevate to the if you please, to the top and become candidates and or leaders in our parties, whether it be Democrat or Republican. They wind up being in position of deciding on the laws, the rules, and the regulations for our nation. Therein lies the problem. We're going to talk about that further in our broadcast today. Kenneth, my question is to you, and I, not wanting to put you on the spot, what should we do as Christians in a nation where we're witnessing the increasing element of the Islamic jihadist in control and the Marxist communist in control?
Yes.
What should we do?
Number one, we need to pray. But like you said before, we need to vote, because I tell you, look at New York right now, and Minnesota, and California, and other states. You know, I want to keep on going, but it is sad. I mean, it looks like, and these young people are getting trained, like you said, by these professors that are, I don't know what they call themselves. They say they're professors. They're stupid people.
Well, they do not. Listen. They're not necessarily stupid. They're smart as a whip. They know what they're doing. In fact, one professor, and I read his statement many, many times, one professor said to moms and dads, you send your kids here, you've trained them to believe the Bible, you've trained them to embrace some elements of what you call truth as you see it, but my job is to brainwash them and change their thinking. And that's the mindset. So, Kenneth, it deserves, as you said, our prayer. We need to vet the candidates. Election is coming up very shortly now, about 4 months, thereabouts. And as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we need to vet the candidates. We need to vote a biblical vote of what would be God's choice. Not saying that every candidate ought to be a Christian, but every candidate ought to recognize God, revere God, and stand on our Constitution. So I'm thankful for that. So, Kenneth, keep looking up, keep praying, as day by day we stand for truth. I believe we have Derby on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
My comment on the issue of birthright citizenship. That only applies when one of the parents is already a legal U.S. citizen, period. It doesn't apply to the children of any foreigners, whether they are here illegally or even legally. A legal resident, a non-citizen, has never pledged allegiance to the USA, mm-hmm. nor has he or she renounced allegiance to his country of birth. So why should we give rights to somebody who has no allegiance to this country? And the children of non-citizens inherit the allegiance to the country of their parents, not to the U.S. So that is my main concern.
Derby, you're exactly right. And one of the major, major factors in my thoughts for today, simply this. As a result of the birthright citizenship decision, a 6-3 decision by the U.S. Supreme Court, or should I say the U.S. Extreme Court, because somehow, some way, the general citizens in America have come to believe that the decision of the U.S. Supreme Court is law and therefore must be adhered to. It was Andrew Jackson that when a decision was made, opinion was given by the U.S. Supreme Court. He said, that's your decision, that's your opinion, now enforce it. I believe this is the time, my personal opinion, this is the time when President Donald J. Trump needs to say to the U.S. Supreme Court, that's your opinion, now try to enforce it. because our Constitution does not allow the birthright citizenship as it's being applied, as the 6-3 decision led by John Roberts says. And Derby, I've got an article. I'm going to read the headline and then a paragraph. Republicans on Capitol Hill erupt over the birthright citizenship decision. The 6-3 decision comes from after President Trump and his administration argued that the birthright citizenship clause, the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution, applies to only the descendants of slaves in the 1800s and not to the chain migration. Brett Kavanaugh occurs in part, the judgment dissents in part. Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, and Neil Gorsuch said, neither the Founding Fathers nor the author of the 14th Amendment, nor the millions of Americans who fought and died for this country through the ages intended to establish a nation whose citizenship could so easily be purchased, whether through birth tourism of China's Communist Party and its members or an invasion of millions enabled by faithless presidents, end quote. So, Derby, the major thing that we're seeing today that's causing what I'm saying is the greatest threat to America. Picture now, and I'm going to set the stage and ask a question. Picture now, through Sleepy Joe Biden, Auto Pen Biden, we brought across the line, southern border, somewhere between 25 and 35 million illegal aliens coming in. Many of those were Islamic jihadists. Many of those had goals of overthrowing America from other nations with other dissenting mindsets. And we've allowed them to come in. Now, they are here by the millions. We already had the what was called the DACA, those that were the kids of undocumented invaders of years by. When you take that total number, we've probably got somewhere in the neighborhood, these are not my figures, the estimate of about 50 million people in America that are not legal citizens. And yet we have birth tourism where for about $50,000, $150,000, a person can come in from China, eight and a half months pregnant, stay in a place, a condo or home, and be given food, clothing, and shelter until the baby is born. They walk through the process of getting the birthright citizenship documents. They go back to China. They grow up as a Chinese communist, come back to America at their leisure, and make their decision and determination on what America should be. That's what we're faced with now. This is the reason we're witnessing from Mandami in New York, and under his leadership and tutelage, some nine communists, socialists, Marxists, Islamic jihadists were elected in the primaries, and now across the nation we're witnessing that. So what is the answer, Derby? I believe that is the greatest threat to America, and President Donald J. Trump made that statement himself, that the greatest threat to America that we face today is that birthright citizenship allowing the communists to come in and take over, attempting to take over America. Is it possible that they can take over? Is that a great threat? Should we be afraid, fearful, or do anything about it?
Well, the threat right now is too many people coming into our country who are not to be of benefit to the USA. They are here to take advantage of the USA. Mm-hmm. Also, concerning about the allegiance to the USA, this oath of allegiance is sworn during the citizenship ceremony, not before. That's what I did when I became a citizen. I had no allegiance to the USA before the swearing, and then after becoming a citizen, or before becoming a citizen, I had to swear oath of allegiance to the USA and renounce allegiance to my country of birth, Cuba. I am now an American, not a Cuban, an American, period. And for all the rulings, I blame the advisors to Trump who suggested that Amy Coney Barrett be nominated to the Supreme Court. They should know better. Trump has made very bad appointments, several bad appointments, and that's one of the really bad ones, including Republicans who voted to confirm Ketanji Brown. They shouldn't have confirmed Ketanji Brown. And when will Trump nominate to the Supreme Court a non-lawyer? We have too many lawyers in Congress, in the Supreme Court. Everybody's a lawyer. Well, I am tired of lawyers. Let's get a businessman or a religious person like you. You could be a Supreme Court justice, or I could be one too. You don't have to be born in the USA to be a Supreme Court justice. Just be friends of the president. That's the only requirement that you need. And we need common sense, not legality and lawyerese decisions.
Derby, I've said for the past 60-plus years that we won't have to worry about heaven being overburdened with attorneys when we get there. I've known too many of them. I know the position they take. They're paid liars and cheaters, and I could go on and on. There's a few. I need to do a little disclaimer. There are a few good Christian attorneys, and I agree with that. But you find very, very few of them, and it's because of their position. But one of the things that I'm concerned about, and I'll read this to you and get your take and then let you go. Headline, President Trump calls communism the most serious threat since our nation's founding. I'm going to read two brief paragraphs. President Donald Trump described the influx of communism as the biggest danger to the nation on June 26 while delivering the keynote address at the Faith and Freedom Coalition and Conference. This is the most serious threat our nation has seen since its existence, in my opinion, in 250 years now. The president cautioned the audience about communism and its insidious nature and its overreaching goal of destroying religious liberty. It goes further, and I'll read this and see your take, get your take. They will close your churches. They will close your churches. They will devastate our country. If the nation goes communist, they're trying to, Trump said, they will kill your people. That's what they're all about. They want to end religion. They want to have an end to religion because the ideology does not work if you're a strong religious nation, end quote. What say you? Was that a right statement?
Yes. And the thing is, even today, we are importing or allowing communists and non-Christians to come into our country. You should become an American in every sense. Embrace the culture and the religion. And religion is the most important part of any culture.
Yes,
that is,
it's an impossibility.
We're a great nation.
In fact, it was Marx. Karl Marx had made the statement that Marxism is impossible in a religious among a religious people. And that's where we stand today. We've left God. We've abandoned God. We've taken the Bible out of the classrooms. We've taken prayer out of the classrooms. We have basically said no to God. And we're witnessing now today what I believe is the progressive judgment of God on America as a result of our saying no to God and abandoning God. Derby, thank you so much, brother. God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I'm looking at a headline. Incredibly problematic. Democrats in Congress are vowing to investigate America at its 250th anniversary for featuring Christianity in the celebration. What say you? How should we respond to that? Are the Democrats right in all of President Trump's speech, all of the great renowned celebration that's taken place in our 250th anniversary, and will continue in D.C. at least through this week? Is there a featuring of Christianity too much? Is it something we should be afraid of? Is it something that should be investigated? What say you? Is that contrary to what we find when we understand that at the just a few years ago, we had some 18 or 20, I think it was, states that in the state constitution said very clearly in their constitution that you had to be a Christian to run for political office. And yet we're finding today those that are part of the Communist Party USA, those that are the Islamic Jihadists, and right now the Islamic Jihadists brag about the fact that they have over 1,100 candidates running for offices across America, small offices, large offices, state offices, county offices, and federal offices. We need to be in serious prayer and concern. concern in relationship to what we see taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTRJ-FM, Orange Park. WAYL-FM, St. Augustine. WATY.